Well,
maybe the nor'easter came through Nightdale.
I don't know.
And caught us there.
But they had a 9-car pileup, John, last night.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, 87 southbound.
And then the accident's over there now. So, yeah, please be careful. Slow down. People really drive fast on the, you know, the Beltline and 87 and all these, and 40. And
I bought a pickup truck thinking people would stop tailgating me. Wrong.
No.
Wrong. Can I talk about Yankees some more?
No. Let's talk about K-Town. They're wrecking all over the place over there.
We have got lots of secondary roads. I mean, originally, there wasn't hardly anything but secondary roads.
All we're mentioning are 87.
Well, the people, maybe they've run a touch over the speed limit on it.
Yeah.
Could be some of the problems.
Well, maybe they get rid of those bald tires.
Well, hey, if it holds air.
Now, John mentioned the pickup truck. My wife has a notion, which I don't think is valid. She says that people that drive pickups are somewhat more aggressive than other drivers. I said, well, why do you do that? She said, well, it's those big ones that are up off of the ground. I said, well, maybe that's true. I said, I got a lot of friends that think they're a chick wagon. And I said, what's a chick wagon? He said,
they carry chickens?
The girls love it.
Okay.
But would you say that there's any truth to my wife's assertion or her thought?
John, are you more aggressive now?
That drive pickup trucks are a little bit more aggressive drivers than the normal drivers.
You know, I've never had a vehicle like a pickup truck where I'm sitting up high. So I will admit, it does give me a little bit more of,
Makes you want to put your arm out the window.
Yeah, that's it.
Here's the real problem. People think a four-wheel drive won't slide too. and so they drive faster because, I've got four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. I'm not going to have any problems.
Bingo.
They still slide when you hit the brakes.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I think therein comes some of the problems.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of weight.
And those big, wide tires are like being on skis.
Yeah,
that's
right.
If you hit the brakes wrong.
So drive carefully, right, John?
Please drive carefully. You don't want me talking about you.
No, John, we'll talk about you.
Exactly.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right. John, you know anything about gardening?
Not a bit.
No, well, actually,
everybody in Nightdale, slow down.
Huh?
I've got some pellets that'll grow that I haven't killed yet.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
well, I'm glad for you. I'm glad for you.
I have to bring my pictures and show them.
Yeah, I wish you would.
That's it.
We'll do that. We'll put them on the Weekend Gardener Facebook page.
The best ever.
All right. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener, and Gerald Adams is with us, former top gardener at the Executive Mansion, would oversee that. Centennial Campus. Whew. Boy, I'll tell you, you stretched out the acreage when you took over to doing that.
Well, 1,000 acres on Centennial. The Lonnie Pool Golf Course takes up 200, so it's 800 acres.
But you didn't mess with that, did you?
No, we didn't have to do anything. Occasionally, they'd put a work order in for us, but it would be like...
Did you bring your golf clubs when you had your work order?
No, that didn't work. It's usually going to fall a flood, and we had to sandbag. They keep the golf carts up under the clubhouse, and the drainage system is not quite up to snuff there.
Okay.
By the way, I've been meaning to ask you... The red horse
chestnut
that you gave me,
mm-hmm.
They don't die. They come back. They haven't grown an inch. They must be really slow growers.
It might be time when they start to bud up, move them to a bigger pot.
Well, they're in the ground.
Oh, well, they'll be in the ground.
They've been in the ground 3 years.
Fertilize them when they start to leaf up.
All right.
Put some slow-release fertilizer, 14-14-14.
I've got three out just to make sure.
Are you in the sun?
It's sort of shady, but that's all I can do.
Well, that'll slow them down a little bit. But they should – most trees like that takes a year for them to get rerooted.
Yeah.
So you're at least a year before they can
10-10-10
start. 10-10-10 would be fine, watered in. But they should start to move on out now. That tree don't grow super fast because it doesn't get – you know, extremely big, maybe dogwood size.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful bloom.
Well, I'm going to try to outlive it.
Okay.
I have a notion about plants right now. Don't give me one that's a foot tall. I want something.
You want a full-size tree?
I want a full-size tree now. At my age, I don't have time to wait 20 years for something that I want to be beautiful. I, Phil is finding me another Arlinda camellia, which has got to be my favorite. And I said, I want one at least as tall as I am. So she's making sure of that.
That's white. That's a white one.
It's a beautiful pink.
It's pink.
Beautiful pink, called Arlinda.
Well, what's the white one you have on the driveway there that's so pretty?
Well, something.
Is it white by the gate?
Yeah.
That's one of the prettier double white ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have it by the gate, so that would be very appropriate.
Yeah. It's by the gate as you come in.
Yeah. I like that. All right.
About 75 or 80. A mixture of japonicas and cystanqua.
And you, they're blooming at different times.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to Ray. And don't know where Ray's from. Ray, where are you calling from this morning?
I'm from Northeast Raleigh.
Okay, how can we help you this morning?
Well, I got quite a few questions to ask.
All right.
I was wondering if you can transplant a dormant tree at this time. I got a couple of red buds and pecan trees.
Yes, perfect.
As long as you don't do it today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it today.
No, not a problem.
Best time you can, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, the fall and winter generally around here is
if you can get a shovel in the ground to make an appropriate hole, then plant them.
And we haven't had that problem in a long time, really.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't get cold enough.
Fall is the best time to do it, September, October.
Well, usually we tell people to plant deciduous trees starting in October, but you can plant them right on. Some trees, if you plant them March or April, you may have to water them a little bit more. Even though the tree goes dormant in the winter, it can still put on some root growth underground. And as with anything, that first summer is going to be the most critical. Usually you get it. You may, you know, if we get a 2-week dry spell and 90-plus degree weather, you're probably going to need to water it once a week or something. But you get it through the first summer, and you're usually off to the races.
Good. Okay, I heard you talking about bird feeders. I've got one in my backyard. I've got several birdhouses, a blue birdhouse and several smaller birdhouses. I just want to throw that out.
Yeah, good for you. It's good. Put some good seed in there and watch them. The birds really put on a show. And it makes me feel good, especially this time of year, to help them out.
Well, let me ask you, Ray, about bluebirds. I'm sure you've got some of those. I feel like I've put mine too close to the house. I've just not attracted any bluebirds, and I've.
Well, you know, Phil had a box right there at the old cabin.
Right, they just fly in and out all the time. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. I think generally they don't like. I mean, think they'd like to be able to have an open area.
Yeah, they do like an open area,
if possible. I've been a
birder since 5 years old. And I'm 71 now.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a while. I love birds. The problem I'm having with my bluebird box now is sparrows. I can't get rid of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the problem might be that I put the bluebird close to the chair where I sit and smoke cigars. I don't think they like my cigar smoke.
Maybe not.
Okay. I'll move it.
That's it. They're pipe smokers.
Yeah.
My wife and I went out yesterday to bought a dozen bagels. So I had one this morning. And
well, I'm glad you didn't eat all dozen.
No.
You need to share them.
Yep. Gave four to my daughter.
Good.
And what was you going to say?
You must have fed the birds some of your bagels, I hope.
This is the wrong group to ask what you want to say, right?
Yeah.
They do have sesame seeds on them.
Oh, good. My wife would like those. Ray, why didn't you bring some by?
I could have, I guess, but I'm not supposed to go on the road.
That's true. Well, I mean, you know, it's... to bring us some bagels, it would have been okay. Do you have any other questions?
Yes. Well, the best place to get them is New York Bagels. I don't know if you know where that is.
Oh, yeah. I've been there many times. Get a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel.
And they have pastries.
Yeah. Are you invested in the business, Ray, or are you just...
No.
Okay. Yeah, they are good.
No, I'm not.
They have a couple of... We have a Cary and a Raleigh location, yeah.
And you were talking about Jimmy Carter. I voted for him in 76, but I don't think I voted for him the second time. Mm-hmm. But I was around there.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Fine gentleman. Fine gentleman.
Yep.
He was. One more thing. I don't know if I can, but...
Well, if you have any question in your mind whatsoever, Ray, I drop it. That's always my advice.
I have... I've been flying model airplanes for... quite a while, but not recently. But I've been going to these events, and I was wondering if I could, at a later date, tell you when one is coming up, and maybe you can advertise for it.
Well, is that possible? Why not, Ray? What the heck?
There's 10 clubs that I know of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there, this is an area, something in our area?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Ray, call up with a gardening question and you can mention it. We like to work it in where we can.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's nothing going on. They had one on January 1st.
All right.
2nd, something like that, which is past, but it was called Freeze Your Tail Feathers Off.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you did. yeah. As you did this morning. Sure. Ray, thank you so much. We got to run.
Okay.
Or fly out of here, whatever you want.
Bye.
No wonder he likes birds. He likes flying. All right, we'll be back on the Weekend Gardener. All righty, we're back on WPTF's Weekend Gardener, 923. A few thousand people without power in the state, probably less than 100 now in Wake County and a few other areas around the Triangle area. But there are slick spots on roads, the main roads even, although the DOT has done a wonderful job in clearing roads, but they can't clear everybody's neighborhood. The folks in Raleigh have done a really good job, but they can't do your neighborhood or my neighborhood. Or wherever you are in Cary, or you know, anywhere around. So, I was supposed to go to Williamsburg today, but they have 4 inches of snow.
Oh,
and that would just to go up to spend the night, it would take a long time to get up there, and I just don't want to. So we're going later, maybe next month. But it's just kind of a potpourri of ice. There was ice all over windshields of cars and limbs this morning. And, the sun's up, so it'll start warming up. What I have officially at the Raleigh-Durham International Airport is 33 degrees. So it's going to get up to about 42 today, and that will help. But it'll get to 22 tonight, so if there's any residue around, you are going to face that as you're heading out for church. And we don't want you to fall, don't want you to slip in your car. John was talking about accidents this morning, doing some traffic reports, and there are a few around. It seems most of them in Knightdale for some reason this morning. I don't understand that.
Blame it on me, I'm here.
You didn't see any, did you?
I saw one car that had slid off the road, and it was probably last night because the tracks were already kind
right.
of filled in. That's all I saw coming in.
Yeah. So be careful where you are, wherever you are.
Do you remember last week, Mike, we had a crazy, strange new word, eleemosynary?
Eleemosynary.
And I've had several comments about that. Well, I've come up with another one that I want to suggest.
Well, please.
And provenance.
Okay. Provenance?
No, provenance. P-R-O-V-E-N-A-N-C-E. If something has provenance, it has a history. You hear people talking about, okay, we've got this nice desk. It was 1840. And the provenance around it, meaning Uncle John's uncle did this and that. Plants have provenance. So let's throw that word out there, provenance.
WPTF has provenance.
Totally.
100, almost 101 years old now.
Well, that was for Richard, mainly. I'm sure he knows
that. Well, I think we have Richard right here.
Oh, really?
Right here. Oh, Richard, good morning.
Good morning. At my age, I feel like provenance.
Well, Rufus, that's not a legal term, is it?
No, it isn't. Just a okay. good old term that very applicable to plants.
I asked Rufus to continue this, eleemosynary and now provenance. So it started with a legal term, but provenance. What is eleemosynary? Please refresh us on that.
Very simply, the thing speaks. No. Eleemosynary means that you are of a charitable nature.
Right.
He is an eleemosynary-minded person, very giving, charitable.
That's Gerald. Yeah. And Rufus. And
now, you're speaking about Latin there. There's a phrase I use quite often, res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself.
Yes.
If you're an idiot, it means you're an idiot.
Okay. Or as my sweet little daughter apparently heard me say idiot one time, and she should not, but she said itty dot, which I was thankful for. Richard, did you want to weigh in on anything in particular?
Well, the off-season tomatoes and then the mayo and then a request for Gerald for this year's coming tomato crop. But
do you want him to grow
speak
you some
now
tomatoes?
Or forever hold your peace?
you know what they say over at Hellman, you may or may not buy their mayonnaise.
You may or may not buy their mayonnaise.
Okay, yeah, finally.
And anyway, the off-season tomatoes, the only ones that are fairly edible are the Camparis, but you have to, there's two different types, and I can only find them at BJ's, the ones that were grown in Mexico, and the ones I got at Food Lion are from Canada, and they're not as good.
So you want to know why you can't find them? Because they won't sell the seed. It's a hybrid, and the company yep. that developed it grows and sells the fruit, and you can't find the seed anywhere. I've had people ask me about them. I like them okay, but I like other things better. But if enough people ask me about something, I'll try to find the seed. There's some thought in Holland that you can find the same seed under a different name. I've had somebody looking for me. So far, no luck. But out of New Jersey.
What is your favorite variety of, what do you include in your sandwich? What is your best sandwich tomato?
Oh, how long do we, this is only a 3-hour show.
I'm just
show,
talking
Mike.
About, what, just pick one.
Well, you can't go wrong with Cherokee Purple, but I can name 10 more that I like as good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Rufus, so. What you like, now for a long time, you like the Cherokee Purple the best.
I'll have to go with Gerald. And then Park's Whopper. I'll tell you, just Park's Whopper.
That's a good red variety.
I grew that last year. Did very mm-hmm. well. And then there's Richard. What's Richard's favorite?
Yeah, real quick, Richard, we got to go.
Okay. I like a number of different types, but on sandwiches, I'm kind of like that. A person that drinks their liquor straight. I like the straight tomato.
Okay. Hey, Richard, hold on a second. We're going to do some work here.
All right. I'll stand by.
All right. I'm sorry, I was just showing Rufus a photo of a grow light, a stand-up grow light. So you're in the stand-up grow light business?
Yeah,
now?
I'm looking to make these tomatoes now that I've got them already coming up a little bit early here. I want to keep plenty of light on them, as Gerald suggested. I've got to save my cousin Barbara's heirloom tomatoes.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm looking for grow lights, stand-up.
Right. All right.
Well, I don't want any elaborate kind of box.
Just something that looks like a lamp, but it's grow light type. And something you could adjust downward.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Back to Richard. Richard, anything else?
I'd like to have a request put in with Gerald for at least probably four red snappers and a couple of Arkansas travelers. That's what I think.
Doesn't that have to go through Henry?
Any requests? I'll have plenty of those. Unless you wait to the middle of May, I mean, I'm going to have plenty of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because last year I think you ran out of the red snappers.
I've doubled this year's.
Oh, may I ask, is that a tomato?
Red snapper is a hybrid red slicing tomato that has a lot of disease resistance but has a good flavor. A lot of the people that have been Better Boy fans have switched over.
Yeah, I'm a Better Boy fan.
To red snapper. It's a good tasting, and your chances of results are significantly higher with that if you have lots of disease issues.
Well, I'm going to have to stick Richard with some of these that have been named after me.
Okay.
And see if we can come up with a real good Rufus tomato. Oh, yeah. And by the way, how about my new word, provenance? I bet you've used that many a time, Richard.
I've been to Provence, but not provenance.
Well, since I am an antique, I guess I am provenance.
You have quite a provenance surrounding you, Richard.
Absolutely. Okay.
And what does it mean again, Squire?
It means having some historical significance surrounding an item.
Yeah. It's an item. It's not human.
Well, a human can have provenance, too, but it's generally used with antiquing.
Provenance Rufus Edmonston.
Oh, my.
Well, I've been in that environment. Martha's dad made 18th century reproductions, so is his hobby.
Oh, he would know about provenance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't our lifestyle, but it's beautiful furniture, but as colonel, he had to entertain the general and all that sort of stuff, so they wanted something nice.
Hey, Richard, you ought to see my bow tie that Rufus gave me this morning.
Put it on Facebook, Mike.
But it's upside down.
That's
I got to
right.
retie it.
That's all right. You can edit the picture on Facebook and turn it back around. So
I'll be upside down. I should do that.
Yeah.
That would be good.
And I've got a quote from Milton Gillette in Swansboro, the late Milton Gillette. His comment was about Yankees. And because Swansboro was, it's a tourist-type area.
Yes, it is.
They always used to say, well, you know, tourist and Yankees are easier to pick than cotton.
Yeah.
Folks, we don't mean anything by this.
Much.
Just thank you, Richard.
All right. Well, y'all have a great one.
All right.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Let's go to Farmer John. Farmer John, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm doing pretty well down here in Fuquay. We had a little dusting.
Yeah, please give us a report. Have you gotten out on the roads or walked outside or anything?
No, I stepped out the front door just to kind of see what the sidewalk might be like. And as soon as I stepped on the first piece of brick edging on I realized this is getting risky. Get back in the house.
Get back in the house, right?
I got back in the house real fast, but I think we're okay. Sun's kind of peeking out, and some of it's already melting and running off. So
that's good.
We'll be good in shape by the time of the end of the day. So look, I got a couple things to talk about or ask questions about. So last summer, I had my first what I call real garden. I moved down here to Fuquay, and I got one of these places where, you know, there's not any trees in the neighborhood, and so it's just wall-to-wall sunshine, and I used those first chance to really have more than a single tomato plant, if you know what I mean. So I used grow bags. The soil was really poor, and so I got about a half a dozen 25-gallon grow bags, filled them up with soil, Really made a nice growing medium. I put in four tomato plants. I got all these from Gerald. I had a red snapper, German Johnson, some other kind of determinant I can't remember, and then Sun Gold. I think we were eating Sun Golds up till Thanksgiving. And then we had a couple of those, we had some of those snacking bell peppers, Gerald.
He had a small one.
Talking about. Mm-hmm. Little small ones. They were okay. I think I want to go back to the bigger ones, though, next year. I just like the bigger ones a little bit better. They were okay. And I had a little yellow squash. That didn't turn out too good, but that's okay. So
I can solve your squash problem this year.
Well, I'll come talk to you at the farmer's market
okay.
and talk about that. But, look, the first thing I wanted to kind of ask, though, was this. So I use these 25-gallon bags, which take a lot of soil and soil conditioner in. And when I went and pulled the tomato plants up, I expected just a massive root system. I mean, I thought, you know, for sure I'll be pulling all the dirt out of the bag with all these roots. Well, it really wasn't that way. Now, my tomatoes overall did fine. I just wonder if the bag was, if I need to have a bag that big. I hear about people growing in 5-gallon buckets and things like that. Should I consider downsizing? Am I wasting material? What do you think?
Depends on the tomato. How tall were the tomato plants? So, for instance, a German Johnson plant in a 25-gallon grow bag should have been 6 to 8 foot tall.
I will tell you, they didn't get quite that tall. Now, some of that is because the way I had to trellis them, I have a fence that runs along the back. And I'd use some T-posts to stake them along the front where I could kind of pull them towards the front. And then I used that fence as kind of a way to run. And I just ran string.
Right. So
T-post in the fence. And so most of the time they grew up, but then they fell over.
So everything about tomato root systems usually is going to be related to the size of the plant. So the bigger the plant, taller, broader, wider, thicker, is going to have a more bigger root system, generally speaking, where a determinate plant that doesn't get as tall, that root system is going to be a little bit smaller. This is the problem. I grow all conventional tomatoes in 25-gallon nursery pots, and that's because I don't want them to get root bound. Because mm-hmm. if you've got too small a container and they get or grow bag, if they get root bound, that puts pressure on the plant and it leads to a multitude of bad things. Too much stress, way easier for disease to get it. Too much stress stops blooming, no blooms, no fruit. So it just starts a domino of bad things to happen. Once that plant gets root bound, your season is soon going to be over. Well, whether that's the 1st of August or, 1st of October.
Yeah. So, one thing I did.
Now, the other vegetables don't need that much. A pepper plant doesn't have to be in that much. A squash plant, you could have a bunch of squash plants in that. But I'm talking specifically for tomatoes, which generally is the biggest summer vegetable plant and going to have the biggest root system.
Okay. All right. That's good feedback. That's good good coaching for the second season. And that's a great segue into my next round of questions. So I'm doing all this for the entertainment value, the novelty value, if you will, the fun of it. I'm certainly not doing it for the economics.
No.
Time you go buy all that soil, then you could have bought a whole lot of tomatoes. But look, here's what I was thinking about this last week or week before. What about using some grow bags, maybe not 25-gallon, I'm thinking smaller, and frying some strawberry plants? Now, I've got plenty of room. I can easily double, maybe even triple what I had last year in terms of total bag capacity. But I was thinking, well, what about maybe some 10-gallon bags and get me some strawberry plants, kind of lining those up in a row? How feasible is that? Is that something I might have any chance of getting a few strawberries off of? What do you think?
It will work, but you should have planted them in October. The kinds that produce year-round ever-bearing don't make a lot of fruit here. The ones like you see where you go somewhere and pick your own or buy them from them already picked, those people plant all of them in late September, early October, and have them start, you know, producing, you know, sometime in April and on into May. Right. So it's just how long it takes them. The cold weather doesn't hurt them. That's how long it takes them to develop. The other types, like you will see somebody selling a hanging basket with some in, are going to produce sometime in the summer. But it has been my experience, the fruit's kind of small, not as sweet, and usually you don't get many strawberries.
And then, John, we've got our move because we've got the National Weather Service that we need to get to. Did you get all that you needed information?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll probably just hold on the strawberries.
Okay.
Yeah, but John, I like your idea of having fun. That's what gardening's all about.
Yeah, please have fun.
Oh, it was a real blast. Other than, you know, I mean, it was also tiring at times.
Yeah, I'm sure it was
more work than most people realize.
John, give my best to everybody there in Fuquay, please.
All right, we'll do it. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye bye. Let's move out to the NC State campus and National Weather Service meteorologist.
Centennial campus.
That's right. And Andrew Krenn is with us this morning, meteorologist. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us. I know y'all are busy, but y'all were probably a lot busier when the storm was coming through. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Did this meet expectations, this weather system that came through? Or I know it's hard to predict all of this stuff. There's so many you guys take so much math and everything, but how did Mother Nature cooperate this time or what?
Yes and no. It was a tricky storm. We certainly met most of our expected snow accumulation across the triad. They had about maybe 2 to 3 inches closest along the Virginia border towards like Roxborough. Here in Raleigh, we were expecting that potential for snow to switch over to sleet and freezing rain, so that was expected.
Yeah.
So it definitely was a unique storm with a lot of uncertainty with regards to precipitation type. And certainly across the Raleigh-Durham area, we certainly got about a tenth of an inch of freezing rain, so that has also led to some impacts across the region.
It certainly has. And for the next couple of days, I guess early tomorrow morning and overnight, what is left will refreeze.
Yes, that's correct. We are going to see that sun for the rest of today, and there will be a little bit of a gusty wind out of the northwest. That should help to melt a lot of the ice and snow that's on the ground, but there will likely be still some lingering wet spots, and those will refreeze tonight as temperatures drop into the low 20s.
And it's going to get very cold in a couple of 2 or 3 days, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday maybe?
Yeah, that's correct. A high on Tuesday, actually more like midweek on Wednesday, highs in the mid-30s.
Ouch.
And then Wednesday night will be basically in the upper teens.
Now, I know that y'all don't usually go too far in the future, but do we have any more precipitation that could coincide with cold weather?
At this point, the next 7 days looks dry and just mainly cold.
Okay. Well, that's comforting. Very much so.
Yay.
Yeah. So who got the most in your forecast area? Who got the most snow? Was it the Roxborough area or?
Yeah, Roxborough got around 3 inches. If you go just to the west of Winston-Salem, they had about 3 inches. Greensboro Airport had about 2.3 inches. So they were kind of the winners out of the total snow accumulation.
Okay, very good.
Well, I don't even want to mention my hometown of Boone. You don't want to talk about that.
Well, I know it was snowing in Boone yesterday afternoon. I could see that. But
Some cocoa rise measurements there would suggest maybe 3 to 5 inches in Boone.
Oh, yeah. That's a small one from my memories.
Well, the folks who can get up Beach Mountain and Sugar Mountain are happy today. I'm sure it's good ski weather today. For folks, kind of give us a refresher on freezing rain, the difference in freezing rain and sleet. because I know it has to do with warmer at the upper atmosphere and cold at lower and all of that. Could you give us a little quick refresher?
Yeah, sure. So fleet occurs when there is basically a warm layer that's above freezing, several 3,000 to 5,000 feet above the surface. But then that layer of above freezing temperatures is not really deep, and so it has enough time to basically refreeze before it reaches the ground. So it ends up being more of this really small little pellet of ice, sort of like a little bit somewhat transparent. And then freezing rain, there's actually a larger depth of the atmosphere just above the surface that's above freezing. So all of that precipitation eventually just melts as a raindrop. But then when it hits the ground surface temperatures are all below freezing. So then it just basically freezes on contact on trees, concrete, what have you.
Yeah, so we had a potpourri of all of that, and I think it ended up with freezing rain this morning. So you could see that on the trees and power lines, and luckily it wasn't a lot of freezing rain because we didn't lose a lot of power in the state.
Yeah, that's correct. We sort of lucked out a little bit on the most potential there. There was some concern that some areas could have gotten a quarter of an inch of ice, which would have been pretty destructive
for right.
power outages.
Very much so. Andrew, you folks in the National Weather Service always do a great job, and we certainly appreciate your time.
All right, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. Take care.
Bye. All right, Andrew Krenn with us from the National Weather Service. He's a meteorologist. And Brother Herb, I don't know what you taught at Carolina, but we love you no matter what. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Good morning, everyone. I hope you are well.
Are you in Durham this morning, I assume?
Yes, I'm in Durham. I'm in Durham for sure.
Did you talk to your mother to see how she was?
Oh, she's fine.
Down in Jamesville?
Yeah, she's absolutely fine.
Well, that's good.
I had two quick things. First, Gerald, thanks for sending us the update on the tomato progress, and look forward to the coming season.
So, if all goes well, I hope to have the new grow list on the website around the 1st of February.
Fantastic. Believe it or not, yesterday I ate one of my last two tomatoes, and I have one more in my hand right now that I'm going to put in the salad today. What I did was, before that first hard freeze, there were green Romas out there. So I went out there and picked them. I put them in the window here, and eventually this past week they turned a beautiful red. And so this is it. And
wow. I'm
looking forward to the next one.
Well, that's a pretty good run when you make it this far.
Dadgum right.
I'm jealous.
You know, they actually did better at the very end than any time during the summer.
Correct.
I have one request, Gerald, and that is I don't grow big tomatoes. I grow Roma and grape tomatoes. If you had to suggest what I should look for when we come down, something similar to the Cherokee purple that would be small.
Black cherry.
And reliable.
Black cherry is a tomato that looks and tastes a lot like Cherokee purple. It's not tiny, tiny, like marble size. It's maybe a little smaller than a ping pong ball.
Okay.
That is a fabulous one. Chocolate sprinkles is another one that's got the Cherokee purple taste, even though it's brown with some little green specks on it. And I can probably round up another 7 or 8.
Fantastic. So I'll just come down and say, give me a miniature Cherokee purple, and they'll do it.
Yep. Well, Herb, do you slice those little tomatoes?
Do I slice them?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about sandwich-wise, Herb.
Well, yeah, sometimes. You know, the small ones. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
You have to be careful with that bread and those little teeny. I mean, a few of them might fall out.
Yeah, but they don't move around like the big slices.
Okay. Oh. Well, if you lop on enough mayonnaise, then it's kind of stationary. Duke's mayonnaise.
Hold them in place.
Have a great weekend.
I hope you do too, Herb. Thanks for calling.
Herb, you know one thing I love about you? I've been accused of being a mama's boy. You're a mama's boy, and I love that.
Absolutely. Amen.
Absolutely. I love that.
One more quick thing.
Sure.
And that is, that I am a blood donor. I can't be a blood bone marrow donor because I'm too old.
Right.
But I'm a blood donor, and I got a note from the Red Cross this week saying that my blood donation was sent to Silva, North Carolina.
Oh.
So it's not always money, folks. You can do good in a lot
of
ways.
Yes, sir. What a wonderful way to end the conversation, yeah. Herb. Thank you very much. Good reminder. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Bye, yeah. Give blood if you can. All right. Wow, we have made it through 2 hours of the Weekend Gardener. And that little cigar stub is still sitting out there, Rufus. You reckon that thing's going to be frozen?
Well, it'll be aged a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it may still be burning. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.